The following program, Sunday Mornings, is sponsored by the Friends of Brandon Johnson and, to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
What's up? Good morning, Chicago. How y'all doing? Oh, I think I know the answer. What's up, Cook County, Illinois, America? Oh, America, the beautiful. It's the hottest political program this side of heaven, Candace. Good morning, sis. How
good
about this
morning.
Country?
Our country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty for some.
Yeah. 773-763-9278. It is the hottest political program on this side of heaven. It's Sunday mornings, you all. Come on, y'all. Time to get up. It's time to go to church. Put your hands together. My name is Brandon Johnson. I get to host the show. Candace Castillo gets to hold it down. Thank you all so much. Tis of thee, Plymouth Rock. Oh, beautiful. Give me something else patriotic.
You need to watch
like a Rocky movie or something.
Not even Rocky. Living in America. Okay.
There you go.
It's not even Rocky. It's not.
Just need something to feel motivated. Like, we gonna be okay.
Usually, Kendrick Lamar, "We Gonna Be All Right" can get me through almost anything, right? The day after Trump got elected, that song was on repeat. On Wednesday, I was just, and it's funny, Tuesday night, I was elated, right, with the elections in Georgia. On Wednesday, I am not a patriotic person. In the least bit. I stopped standing for the Pledge of Allegiance when I was 12 years old, right? But I have never felt like I was less of an American than on Wednesday. To see people literally scale the wall of the Capitol building with no police in sight. And when there was a Black Lives Matter rally, there were 20 different National Guards that the states had sent up, right, from in D.C., and the Pentagon wouldn't even let one come in from Maryland. Finally did, and that's what put it down. But after they got into it. So this is white privilege and white supremacy at its finest.
Yeah, there was something very tragically, I'm going to be honest with you all. There was something very tragically ludicrous about it. You know, and I know all cultures have experienced this before. You know, something is so disturbing and something so upsetting that your response is to, like, laugh because you almost are in shock. And I think what's or disbelief of something. But I do believe, though, that there are lots of us that though we could not have necessarily foreseen it playing out exactly like that. I think what's equally disturbing is that it didn't really surprise people as it was developing and happening. There were folks that were like, "Oh yeah, America, the beautiful, the country that I have tis of thee," whatever that is. But it's certainly sort of a remarkable experience here in America when you witness the, and I'll use all the phrases, whether it's double standard. When you see the hypocrisy, the contradictions, when you see the dichotomies that exist within this framework of our attempt to unite these states, and even in the attempt to do that in one of the most, you know, historic elections that we will discuss, you know, throughout history, that our country can't even get its own democracy right. And there is a lot to discuss today because, believe it or not, you would think that an attempted coup or attack on the nation's capital would just be the only and main story that captures the headlines in our country, in our city, our county, our state.
No.
It turns out, Candace, there are still a lot of other bad things that are developing as well. You know, it's I don't know what the right word is. So it is, again, I'm going to use the word remarkable again, that as bad as that occurrence was, and it was, and we're trying to break that down in a little bit, and we're going to be up on social media, I believe, if we're not already. We are already on Facebook Live, so I'm sorry about that. Those of you who have tuned into this program on Facebook Live, thank you so much. So do us a big favor, of course. I want you to like and share the broadcast. Leave your comments. I got a big question that I'm going to ask. I actually have several questions. The lines are available to you all. The number, of course, is still the same. It's 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-9278. Again, without appearing to have a large ego, I'm going to repeat my name again for those who have tuned in for the very first time in their lives. My name is Brandon Johnson. I get to host this show. I have an amazing co-host with me, Candace Castillo, and she's going to take us through, you know, a series of conversations today so that we can stay focused, because I have a propensity to veer off. But I do want to thank the people who make this show possible. And so those of you who are tuning in for the first time, you're on social media, I got a question there that's already up for you. Lots to discuss today. But we do have people who make the show possible. So thank you, Chicago Federation of Labor, CFL. Thank you for your work and your sponsorship of the show. Cook County College's Teachers Union, Local 1600, thank you for your support. Of course, we have the Chicago Teachers Union's Foundation. They're back at it again. Their support is awesome and certainly necessary. Go to their website, see the work that they're doing, even in these very difficult times. So thank you, ctuf.org. We also have the support and sponsorship of SEIU, HCII. These are home health care providers all over the region, state of Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Kansas, I believe. So thank you for their leadership there, Greg and Maggie. And of course, Erica Bland has been on the show several times. So, and then of course, we have the Illinois Federation of Teachers, IFT. They're a statewide federation. Their leadership is awesome. Dan Montgomery, their president there. We also have the vice president of the Chicago Teachers Union, who's also the vice president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers, Stacey Davis Gates, and her work. And of course, I always forget, but we do have the Friends of Brandon Johnson. There's a small sponsorship by those who actually believe in the political direction that I am attempting to lead our county towards in my role as Cook County Commissioner. So, you know, Candace, you know, besides the fact that the Senate will now have a 50-50 split, essentially, but the Democrats have the edge because the person who presides over the Senate, of course, is the vice president. Those of you who have studied the Constitution in seventh grade at least know that aspect of it. And so Kamala Harris will be very, very busy not only helping to lead the policy initiatives, but I think you'll see a different type of vice president because, you know, sometimes in other administrations, you don't always hear from the vice president. You don't see them very often. We're not even always sure if they have a legislative platform. But Kamala Harris is going to be front and center. So I do want to go through that. You know, obviously, you know, this conversation around the storm of the Capitol, again, which is quite bizarre to say, because it was just it was so wicked, twisted. I know folks might be offended by what I'm going to say. It was tragically comical. And the only reason why I'm saying that, I'm not saying that this was a laughing matter. It's just that you, in such disbelief, all the signs and signals that these individuals were wearing and using to display where their allegiance is. But, you know, you saw like costumes and you saw America in a way that I've expressed this before. And this is not to brush all of my experiences as a surrogate for Elizabeth Warren the same way. All I'm saying is that I did have a chance to see white America through in a different way, much different than what I've seen more in a suburban area around the city of Chicago. And even being in southern and central Illinois, to see how white poverty is playing out in many of these red collars. It's very upsetting. It's disturbing to see folks constantly vote against their own interest. That's very disturbing. And to see how ignorance can prevail was certainly, you know, very much a tragedy. But I have to say, Candace, as the story was developing, You know what the first thing that came to my mind?
What?
Something that you alluded to earlier at the top of the hour. They had help.
They had help. You cannot convince me that this was not an inside game. This was not an inside job. The way Brandon, you've been to the Capitol in D.C., right? Even if it was on a field trip as a kid, that place is huge and it's a maze. I got lost as a kid, literally in the Capitol trying to find a bathroom.
I hear freshman congresspersons get lost.
Get lost. So how did they, Representative Clyburn said they passed my office that actually had my name on it and went to my other office, my real office in the Capitol. There's no way they would have known where that was. Like, it's mind-boggling that they were able to get in there and do the things. And that there were only, at the time, all those people, 56 arrests. Everybody knew that this thing was coming, because I refuse to call it a protest, because it wasn't. Everybody knew that this siege or this riot was coming, yet the police had no riot gear, nothing but their batons, and the vice president and the vice president-elect was in chambers. However, these people got in, this was an inside job.
773-763-9278. So if it was an inside job, that is our poll question for the day. Should the people involved, and I want to say particularly the politicians, because it's well documented that there are several politicians who were involved in this, and many of them were actually quite transparent, you know, about their involvement. So much so that they were quite comfortable taking photos, sharing it on social media, bragging about their form of patriotism.
And still afterwards, 146 members of this Congress decided to still vote against approving the ballots. 146 people.
I think it's up to 147 now.
147. And the House of Representatives decided that even after this, we'll agree with them, and Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz need to go the way of the dodo bird.
That's how we do it on this show.
That's how we do it on this show.
We don't necessarily condemn people to hell, because that's not our response. We can't do that.
Well, no.
But we can
ask them to go the way of the dodo bird.
Sounds like a very lonely path.
Well, I mean, it's extinction.
Don't you go anywhere, though. I want you all to stay with us. I want you to like and share the broadcast. Check it out, you all. Should the politicians involved in the attack resign? There it is. Should the politicians involved in this attack resign? I want you to weigh in, yes or no. There are so many things that are happening right now. Schools are being forced open on tomorrow. 1 in 3 children tested in Los Angeles are now testing positive for COVID.
1 in 3.
It's 25%.
1 in 3.
Roughly. 1 in 3.
33%.
Yeah. Some regions throughout L.A. County, they're saying, you know, numbers may be a little bit lower, but 25%. So we can say 1 in 3 safely. I think that's a little kind of oxymoronic, but are testing positive for COVID, 1 in 3. The mayor of Chicago, the CEO of Chicago Public Schools have both said, not only is it safe, it's a matter of equity and justice. Although the district is comprised of primarily Black and brown children, those communities that have been through the storm and still living through this storm, that those families are not trusting of this so-called plan that has been presented. And so it's hard for me right now to concentrate solely on what's happening in D.C., because we have our own attack right here in front of us, you all. So if folks are interested in weighing in on the social media question, I want you to leave your comments there. We'll try to read them on the air. You can call in. We don't mind talking to people. The number is 773-763-9278. We're not just simply discussing, was this an inside job? I think it's pretty evident that they had a lot of help. The fact that all the videos that are surfacing where the large mob and, you know, those folks who are still quite not over the Civil War, as the Confederacy was moving through, how the Northerners who were supposed to be protecting the Capitol, they just moved the barricades and allowed them in.
Literally just moved the barricades. And then to wake up and not even wake up, to watch them on the news call these people patriots. These patriots. What was patriotic about that?
Well, it depends on what your definition of patriotism is. And so that's why if you want to call in and sing us a patriotic song, we won't do that.
Unless you sing, "All Right, I'm Coming to America. Living in America."
So basically black artists, patriotism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how we roll here.
I mean, Marvin Gaye and Whitney Houston turned out the national anthem.
You started standing again when you heard that.
What?
That version, right?
What?
I mean, it is the hottest political program. That is Candace. I'm Brandon. When music plays, it's not that I'm just walking in a room. That happens, though. And then a glowing light descends down on me.
It doesn't happen.
It really just means I got to take a break. When we come back, though, we'll try to get to the calls. I got Jim and Keith and Paul want to weigh in on this. Should these folks resign? Are you safe? And I don't mean to, like, I'm not making light of this, but are you safe? Yes or no?
No.
773-763-9278, WCPT 820 with the Facts Matter. Get up, y'all. Sunday mornings. Hey, what's up, you all? It is the hottest political program on this side of heaven. You are listening to Sunday Mornings. I'm your host, Brandon Johnson, Candace Castillo. It only works because you're here, honestly. I appreciate it. All of you who are checking us out on social media, I appreciate it, you all. We're a little bit under our quota.
Under a little bit.
25 shares. Come on, y'all.
A little bit.
We usually get to 30.
We can do better.
We can do better. And so for all of you patriots out there, I am interested in hearing from the patriots.
That word is so triggering. It's so triggering. I am really at a loss for words. The more and more I think the true patriots were the people protesting with Black Lives Matter this summer. But before we went to break, you touched on a subject about our city, our teachers going back to schools, where this city is for Black and brown people. It turns out that 2019 was a remarkably bad year for Black women. And we're just finding out about it. Did you see the footage of the Black woman getting hit by the police car?
I'm aware of it. I did not see it. And I know that makes me sound like a politician. But
no,
that has less to do with me being a politician, more about my humanity. I have a tough time watching these videos. I didn't even watch the Anjanette Young video, to be honest. I read what I read, but I'm having a tough time with that.
But this was also 2019 and was covered up, and the city doesn't want to settle. So, Black woman hit by a cop car. Cop jumped down and said, "I ain't hit you."
Like that. Mm-hmm. And then the car was still on her.
Yeah.
Brain damage, severe. The trauma that, I get where you're going, Candace, and thank you for raising that. The trauma that we are experiencing right now in this country, and this is why I'm asking this question, are we safe? And if we believe that we can escape without being touched or impacted by all of this madness, we're mistaken. And those who are refusing to be responsive in this political moment, this crisis. And this is what's interesting, though, when you look back, of course, you know, as nerdy social studies teachers, the race riots that followed the pandemic in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And that there's a real parallel here. I was talking with my colleague the other day ago, and she pointed this out, that, you know, the race relations at that time of the pandemic were very much bright lines like what we're experiencing today. And so this is why I think for a lot of folks, particularly those that have some level of consciousness, it's tragically ludicrous and somewhat comical. It's disturbing and upsetting, but it is so familiar. You know, you watch it. And you watch this stuff, and sometimes people watch it in disbelief, but it's like we've been here before. But it's not just us that have an opinion around this. We actually have faithful listeners who hang out with us. We'll start with Lake Forest. How's that? Let's go to Jim. Jim, welcome to Sunday Mornings, and thank you for holding for a little bit. And by the way, Jim, before you jump in, folks were asking online, who was the first person to resign who participated in this attack? It was Derek Evans. He's part of the House of Delegates in West Virginia, so he has resigned. But, Jim, go right ahead.
Well, the first thing I want to say is patriots don't storm the Capitol. You lose an election, you get organized, you work harder, you get a better candidate. You do exactly what Stacey Abrams did down in Georgia. You register voters, you work your ass off, and then you get people to come and show up and vote for them. And that's what patriots do. Yep. Don't storm the Capitol. Secondly, I used to be a police officer, and I think the conspiracy or the failure was at the leadership level. When Donald Trump replaced the Secretary of Defense, they couldn't get, all these people are on temporary appointments. They tried to get National Guard. They tried to get some other police, and they wouldn't give them. I think the real failure was not being prepared, because everyone knew this was going to be a mess on January 6th. You know, I feel bad for the frontline police officers that were there. I think at a certain point they got to it. We're overwhelmed. We can't do anything. They weren't going to confront them. You know, I felt so bad for that guy running up the stairs with those guys chasing him. He finally got where, you know, seven or eight more cops were there. But I really think the failure was at the command level and above. It wasn't prepared for this. There should have been guys in riot gear. Mm-hmm. There should have been extra security at that Capitol. I can't believe there's 3,200 Capitol police officers. That seems insane for that building. I would have thought there's maybe a couple hundred, but 3,200, and they let that happen. That's just ridiculous.
Hey, Jim, how long did you serve? Jim, how long did you serve?
I was a police officer for 7 years. I'm a firefighter for the last 26 years.
What's going through the mind of someone on the front line there? Are you saying that front line knew that they could not hold the line? And
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You know, people are getting upset that they took selfies. They weren't gleefully taking selfies. These people were coming up and snapping pictures. They didn't look. Again, this is all my perception.
Sure.
And being a police officer with some training and stuff like that, you get to a point where we can't hold off 30,000 people with 15 people. Now, being prepared, that should have been at the command level. The chief, that guy resigned. But there should have been, you know, some National Guard, some state police,
right.
Other people in riot gear. You got two big events. You got inauguration, and this even wasn't a big event. It's a ceremonial event. But Trump made it such an issue. I mean, that guy is such a scumbag, and I can't believe he fooled 75 million people.
You know, no, I think that's
crying about this.
I think that's a very powerful point, Jim, that there's a number of people who really believe in Donald Trump. And Jim, thanks for holding on there. We're going to get to our next caller. But the one thing that I will, you know, push back on Jim just a little bit. Do I believe that the frontline staff felt overwhelmed?
Yes.
I don't doubt that, right? I think what was striking in this moment is that the type of provocation with a smaller audience, like let's just say one black woman who was having a mental breakdown, they unloaded on her, Jim.
Or four people praying in the Capitol Rotunda. And it was interesting, right? It was...
I'm sorry, Candace. Go right ahead.
I was watching the footage of the people yelling at the cops, and one guy said, "We had your back when the rest of America was against you. You gotta let us in here." And maybe that was a sentiment of some of those Capitol Police officers, too.
I just, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, and I feel overwhelmed in my life, not like this, the last thing on my mind is saying cheese and like taking a picture. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, they were kind of forced in this position. And
Jim, if I'm desperate to get you out,
you just taking pictures with people.
Just like, get out. If I say cheese, will you get out? But then
maybe you feel the pressure.
Blue Lives Matter.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think that there's something else there inherently where. So I'm gonna say something else. I think is gonna be quite provocative, and I want to give you this warning. And you know, I trust that people hear what my heart is. So there were people who were killed. That
five,
right? So we hardly even talk about the fact that there was loss of life on that day. But can I really be transparent and honest here? Because I think it's important
speak
that we
speak your
this.
Truth, brother.
And it was on that day that his political career ended. All right, I'm just going to say it. There was a veteran who was killed, and it was a woman, a white woman. Do you know how hard it is for a white woman to get shot in this country?
Facts.
I am not suggesting that white women should be shot in this country. I'm not. And I don't want people to call in saying that.
Or that white women don't get shot.
Or that they don't get shot,
but
right?
But how hard it is for white women to be shot by law enforcement in this country.
What did this woman do? That because, again, when you're looking at all the footage that's available, you know, the law enforcement looked complicit. The fact that people were able to find people's offices, like Nancy Pelosi's office, I've gone to the Illinois State Capitol, and I have no idea where Delia Ramirez's office is.
Like Delia Ramirez Hernandez now.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations, Delia Ramirez Hernandez. That's right. She is glowing more these days. I mean, she was already a bright, you know, loving, like, outgoing person. Oh, but when those vows were exchanged, we don't even see Delia anymore, do we? Like, she just be smiling at you. He is a good looking dude, by the way. He's handsome.
Handsome couple.
I don't even know his name. It's just Delia's husband. There you go, Boris.
Anyway,
see, this is why Candace is here. Focus, Johnson, focus. That it does happen, you all. It really does. White women, people get shot by police, but when you look at how the police and law enforcement was responding, I'm thinking to myself, how many videos have we seen where officers have been incredibly patient with, like, white assailants? Look, this documented, right? Dylan Ruth, I mean, they treated him like he was their son that had a bad nightmare and woke up out of their sleep and like, it's okay, let's just get you something to eat. You're kind of under arrest, kid, but you hungry? Like, there's this level of care. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't have that level of care. What I'm saying is, this is how out of control this scenario had to be, because law enforcement, just white folks do get shot, y'all. Don't get me wrong. And it's awful. And police shootings are awful. Especially when people are unarmed. What was going on in that situation where they more than likely had to shoot those five people? Now, we don't know if they had to. So let me just make that very clear. But that has made me quite curious, though.
I mean, I think that after, first of all, she was crawling through a window, if my understanding is correct, to get into the chambers when she was shot. Now, from my...
Was she armed?
I don't know.
No.
We don't know. But looking at the videos of her before, it's disturbing. But then, even now, it's more disturbing that these people are now saying, say her name.
You see, this is why I raised this, Candace. And so, because I want your political career to continue. So I appreciate the pause there, so you don't say anything that folks will use in a commercial against you one day. You know, but who's responsible then? I asked this question, like, should folks resign? I'm going to go to Keith. He's been holding. But who's responsible? Are we safe? Who should folks resign? But are we safe? And who is ultimately responsible, though, Candace? These are questions that I'm raising. But Keith has been holding. Keith, welcome to Sunday Mornings.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm a first-time caller. I'm driving along, so I turned on 820, and I really like this program. And a couple of things. The guy that's sitting, I don't even get to use his name, the guy sitting in Pelosi's office, you know what struck me is he didn't try to get there in a way that would be a good way. He didn't work to run for office. He decided that he was going to have his opportunity by just taking over. I just think that's kind of, I don't think that's the way you do things. You don't just say, hey, I get this because I'm going to come in and take it. I have to earn that office. I think that's one thing that the people have to understand. The second thing is I think people are thinking, and I like this talk show of things, because I think what we need to get to is people thinking by talking to each other. And yeah, you're going to get emotional, but you can't make decisions just based on your feelings. You have to talk to each other. And the third thing I want to ask, and I want to ask about something I hear a lot. I'm white, and as I talk to my my people in my circles and things, I hear, oh, I'm not sure why, you know, this thing isn't over. Black people should get over it, because African-American people should get over it, because, you know, the highest office in the land has been held by a black person, so an African-American. So why is this such a big deal anymore? And I love your thoughts on that, because that's what we need to do, is hear what people are thinking and dissect it and say, well, okay, let's think about your thinking there. Because we got to get to a point where we understand each other. So that's just my thoughts this morning.
Yeah, Keith, I like all three of them. I appreciate it. And you're being a first time caller and hanging out with us. Hope you do it again. Let's go to line three. Paul has been holding for a little bit, too. Should these individuals, the question, though, for folks who, you know, just need a refresher, should the politicians involved in this attack resign? Hey, Paul, welcome to Sunday Mornings.
Oh, thank you very much. To your question, should they resign? Absolutely, they should resign. And if they don't resign, they should be removed from office. Because the real danger, and I don't see many people really addressing this, is not the people outside who are trying to break into the Capitol. It's the simple, when fascism takes over a government, it's not because they broke down the gates. It's because they found somebody inside who would open the gates for them. When you've got Republicans voting to overthrow an election after this happens, when you have police who are sympathetic to the cause, when you have fire department people from New York coming down to participate in this, this is a lot more systemic than people realize. The people bashing down the gate are not going to be the problem. They're going to, what they did was abhorrent. They're going to be punished. They're going to be arrested and charged. But those folks don't form policy. It's the people on the inside who are the real danger in this. And I don't see that addressed very, very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Paul.
So, Illinois, we have our own problem with this, because isn't it Representative Mary Miller was her and her husband? I think she's a sitting congresswoman from the state of Illinois, and her husband is a state rep. Yeah, she was there. She and her husband was there being good patriots. Not only should we call on Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, the list could go on to resign, but us in Illinois need to be calling on constantly Mary Miller to resign.
Yeah, 773. Let's keep it up, y'all. 763-9278. We promise we're going to get to the rest of these calls today, but you know, I think that this this idea of, I think that Paul has raised about where the responsibility ultimately relies. People had to get help to do that. And I think what is probably most disturbing, and why I think people are feeling, I believe people are feeling unsafe, is that one of the best posts that I've seen thus far is a very simple post. And a young woman who I grew up with posted on social media that all of them weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where they were? They are your neighbors, who your kids play soccer with. They're your bosses. They're your colleagues. your family members, that as disturbing as it was to see that radical, irresponsible, despicable behavior, the fact that they knew where Nancy Pelosi's office was, to the point about Clyburn, that everybody wasn't out there. And where else are they pulling themselves in formation? And are we safe?
No. Crystal Gardner says, we blacks are not safe. This is only the beginning. Coup at the Capitol was an onset of individual race-based attacks that will come. That's a scary thought. But honestly, I don't think she's wrong.
Yeah. What do you all think, though? Thank you for those of you who are weighing in on social media. This does... The reason why we're raising these questions is because all of this is connected, you all. And I don't know if it was Paul or Keith before that talked about Donald Trump and his behavior and him being responsible for this stuff. The truth of the matter is, the same Donald Trump that said, just stand down, stand by, the same Donald Trump that said, storm the castle, the same Donald Trump that local leaders accepted his FBI agents, his secret agents, who were unmarked, going across cities, arresting people to disrupt one of the most dynamic movements that we have seen in this country in a generation.
Bureau of Prisons, wasn't it?
That's the same Donald Trump that was allowed here in Chicago. So who's responsible? It's Sunday mornings, you all, 8:20 a.m. Candace, bring us on home, okay?
Got it.
Let's get it done.
Hey, we're back. Shorter breaks. I like it. Brandon had to run out. You got me for the rest of the hour. So let's keep going with our calls. Thank you for holding, Roger in Naperville. What do you say about what's going on?
Hello.
Hey, Roger.
Yes, good morning. I'm enjoying the show. And I agree the politician that acted or misbehaved, as you mentioned, over 147 voted after all the incidents. They should be, you know, they should be looked at, and we should let the public know exactly who they are. And also, what I would like to ask, you know, I would like to make a comment is that, you know, we're talking about black, and the brown people are also been affected quite a bit, and prejudice is there in our community. I remember when my dad came here in 1975, you know, he used to work, and some person approached him and said, why are you coming here? Why are you taking our jobs? My dad gave him one reply. He told that guy, only difference between you and me is the generation. And that's what's happening in this country. The demographics are changing, and it's changing very quickly. If you look at Silicon Valley, 40% of the company now are owned by minorities. 40% in terms of the high techs are owned over there. And the dynamic of all this is, what's great about this country is diversity. And if the white people don't seem to understand that, I mean, most of them do understand. The few that they don't understand and carry the Confederate flag and try to talk about white power, I mean, it's not going to happen. I remember when my dad was in London, he visited a restaurant. It says, no Indians or dogs allowed. This was in 1981. You have a politician there also named Boris, whatever his name is. Same
Boris Johnson.
You know, same system as over here with Trump. And I mean, it's coming in a wave. Diversity is beautiful. Look at Russia. Look at how their economy is falling. Look at all the other countries. What makes America great is diversity. Look at the jobs that the minority business created last year. They created over 5 million. I'm talking about within the last 10 years. The minority business have created.
I do agree with you, Roger, and thank you. And it's interesting, right, because in England right now, the most popular food is Indian food. And you are right. Not only do I think if it was Black Lives Matter, if it was brown people protesting, but even if it was Democrats protesting, it would have been totally different. If we go back, let's just go back through history. Even when it was mostly white Democrats protesting the Vietnam War at the Capitol, it was people got arrested. A lot of people got arrested, and they didn't even let them get that close. I think it was part of having a complicit government that let that happen. Governor Hogan from Maryland said that his senator called him while they were in an undisclosed location and asked for help. And he was like, right, our National Guard is on their way. And the Pentagon wouldn't let them in. This is more about, less about just them being white. This is a complicit government that saw their privileged whiteness as important to this rally or to this point, and about the orange ones' appointments in the Pentagon. Let's go to Dave on line one. Hey, Dave from Hoffman Estates.
Good morning, Candace. Got three quick things there. I was telling Paul on was the with all those people that rushed that Capitol, talk about a super spreader event. I'm waiting to see, because a lot of them didn't have masks on, and I'm waiting to see if there's going to be a mini wave out of that one with the coronavirus. And the second thing, the guy that murdered that cop, you know, they're hunting him down. Looking, I'm just wondering, did they take that fire extinguisher and dust it for fingerprints? You know, I would think they would have done that, you know, that they can get him down real quick. And then I'll leave you with this one, talk about the 6 degrees of separation or small world. I was talking with a retired friend of mine in Florida, and he said, you know that guy that was hauling away with Nancy Pelosi's lectern?
Mm-hmm.
He said he was his son's neighbor.
Wow.
That's up.
Wow. And it just brings home, this isn't a far-flung group. This isn't a group of people that we don't know or that we couldn't know someone in that rally. I really appreciate your call, Dave. Dave is absolutely right. Not only was this like a lot of people with no mask on, this was definitely a super spreader event. And I cannot let this show go by without at least talking about the amount of COVID deaths this week, last week. We hit 4,000 deaths from COVID. We had two of the highest days that we have had yet of people dying from COVID. And our mayor and our school CEOs want to open schools back up when we are still dealing with the Christmas bounce from COVID. I want to talk about D.C., but we still got to talk about Chicago. So call us at 773-763-9278. Again, that's 773-763-9278. Let's go to our friend Roosevelt in Chicago.
Candace, thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Hey, Roosevelt.
How you doing? First of all, I want to apologize because I'm going to be all over the place. There's so many things going through my mind. And a lot of it is going to be observation from a Latino side, from a minority side. Our Anglo-Saxon friend, the one that just called, the gentleman that said, let's have a dialogue. Okay, here's my dialogue. Just in my lifetime, I'm 64 years old. What have I seen? I've seen heroes to us, to Latinos, to African Americans, such as Muhammad Ali, taken to court because he didn't want to go to Vietnam because of religious beliefs. Yet, you had Mitt Romney at the same time, Mitt Romney, Cheney, Bush, all these guys, privileged, white privileged guys that never served a day, and nothing happened to them. There's such a double standard and an injustice to minorities in this country, and more white people have to speak, because when it comes down, Candace, if it's coming from us as minorities, nobody believes us. Nobody has an ear for it. More white people have to speak up and say, that is right, that is an injustice. When you treat Colin Kaepernick like an anti-American and you say awful things, I'm talking about the president now, because he egged that on. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget what he said about NFL players, what he said. Fire the SOBs. Remember that? He's egged this on since the beginning, since the inception of his election when he ran. He said Mexicans are criminals. He ran on this.
Yep.
So, but that's nothing new, Candace. This has been going on. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Real quick, Roosevelt. Absolutely. Look, the blood of these five people, as good or bad as they may have been, are on the president's hands, but not on his hands solely. It's on the 147 members of Congress who also voted with his lies to overturn this election. It's definitely on Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley's hands. And yes, we know that if they were black, if they were brown, even if they were left, they wouldn't have been treated like that at the Capitol.
And I'm going to close it with this, Candace. One thing that hasn't been brought up in a lot of our shows here on WCPT, this station, is this. The big problem here also is Rush Limbaugh. He came into the scene 1988. He pulled in Reagan. And these guys have been running on their shows on nothing but hatred, anti-American, and more. Again, more white people have to be conscious of this, that they are the ones that gave Trump a lot of ideas. Fox News. Look at the way Fox News reported just this incident. They brought up the other side, saying that Black Lives Matter was just as bad. They continue to do this hatred and this division. And we have to unite. We have the United States of America. Here's the thing that I want to say in closing. When we were attacked on 9/11, we came together, right? And we have a common enemy. How come we don't have a common enemy now? You know why, Candace? Because they're white.
Thank you, Roosevelt. I think it's hard. It's hard to talk about a common enemy with this. Because this is not anything new. White supremacy in our country is absolutely nothing new. Who are most of the security officers, not the police, but the security officers at the Capitol, black and brown people? Who cleaned up the Capitol after these so-called patriots let their cigarette butts on the Capitol floor or on the House and Senate floors? It was black and brown workers with these people with no mask on. Jose in Springwood. Streamwood, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Hi, I'm just calling. It's been known for a long time that the police have always been in the side of racists. I mean, what is it? The beating of Romney King, how long ago was that? Emmett Till, the justice system is just, it's so rooted in, not only that, but also in immigration, ICE, you know, and these same cops, these same bad apples that are just, they're coming up and white people, some of these white people, they still don't want to see it. It's incredible to me, you know?
I mean, I think you're 100% right. And thank you for your call, Jose. I mean, we have to think about where police came from, right? Police came from in this country for one or two reasons. It's to get slaves and bring them back, or to put down labor rebellions from Irish and Italian workers at the time that were seen as minorities. So, I mean, they were never built to be on the side of the people, period. They weren't. And we're fooling ourselves if we ever thought that they were built to be on the side of the people. But what's interesting this time is the people that claim to love them so much almost crushed one to death in a doorway and killed another. Thomas from Chicago.
Good morning, Candace.
Good morning.
Good morning. The question was posed earlier, should they resign? The answer to that is yes. But the most important thing that I think that everybody's not thinking about is the number of judges, I think it was the largest amount in the history of the United States that Trump appointed to the federal courts,
mm-hmm.
and that are going to protect these people, that are going to be in the court system, and the support of the military, the police departments, the fire departments, and our own FOP leader here in Chicago in particular, and the rank and file of those people.
So I have Thomas, I want to push back on that for a second. Do you really think that these judges, a lot of these judges, some of these judges at least, will not convict these people? Because if these judges were 100% complicit with Trump, they wouldn't have thrown out 60 of his cases.
Well, I would say it's that they were thrown out because there were too many eyes on them. On the smaller cases, like the ones that we're going to see, because it's not going to be on the news nightly. Most of these cases are going to be juried in the District of Columbia, and you're not going to see them on a national basis. What's going to happen to each one of those individuals in those cases?
I don't know, Thomas. I think we might, but thank you for your call. We'll check back in with us. We should talk about that when they come up. So check back in with us. All right, Alan, you have 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Tell your people to get on the line, 211, to get their appointment for the vaccine, and tell them to call today because it's not as busy as the weekend or the weekdays.
Okay, thank you, Alan. So this week in America has been trying. This week in Chicago has been even more trying from us seeing what went on in D.C. And shout out to Nse Yufa, who has been on the show, was on the show the first year, actually, and is part of the New Georgia Voter Project and the win with Ossoff and Warnock in Georgia. But also, this has been a crazy week. And 2020 let us know that white supremacy was alive and well. But this past Wednesday let us know, even with the new administration, it is not going anywhere. And I know I read a lot of comments that said, black people, this ain't none of your business. This doesn't have to do with you. If nothing else happened this week, it reminded me that I am an African American. I am an African with no memory and an American without any privilege. But that does not mean I will not fight for it, and I will not push to make sure that we all have privilege and we all have what we need to have in this country. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate every listener. Oh, wait, Nikos, how do we have more time? We got more time, Nikos?
We got 2 minutes.
How do we have 2 minutes?
Because there's no breaks.
Oh, you took away all our breaks, huh?
I took away your bumper.
Okay, Nikos, you're from Canada. Okay. What do you think about what happened this week?
I think they look like terrorists to me.
That's exactly what they were.
I mean, that's kind of been my stance since the beginning. I mean, you know, you storm a federal building, you take things, you're going to go and take people hostage with not everybody, but there was an idea that people were going to go in there and take.
There were zip ties, and there was a gallows built with a noose and a Confederate flag, the flag of the traitor, the ultimate flag of the traitor, that walked through the Capitol building of the United States.
They replaced American flags with Trump flags. I mean, they threw American flags on the ground. I mean, you know, paintings of Democrats thrown on the floor.
There has been people who fought against the whole thing about Colin Kaepernick or football players kneeling when the national anthem was being played, and these people replace American flags, which I've never been a fan of, with Trump flags. This is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we are. We got to stay faithful. We got to stay prayerful. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep asking questions. We got to keep voting. Thank you so much for listening again this week. And if you do nothing else, and if the Lord says the same, see you next week. Stay faithful.